Welcome back or welcome to the Credible Teacher Podcast. I'm Mike. In this episode of The Lesson with Dan, we share 9 ways to be a better person. I feel like we're all striving to do that, be better people. So here we go. We offer you some insights based on an article we found and hope that's valuable to you. Enjoy. Thanks so much for being here. Bye-bye. Hey, welcome back to The Lesson with Dan. Dan, how you doing?
I am fantastic. How are you, our TikTok legend?
I don't want to say that. People are like, what is TikTok?
Is that song by Kesha?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing well. Really good. Just gooder than good.
Gooder than good.
What do you got for us today?
Oh, usual bag of tricks, I guess.
Yeah.
What are we learning about?
Today, we are going to be learning about how to be a better person, right? Yay. Okay, this is an article called 9 Ways to Be a Better Person and Be Happy by a fellow named Jeet Banjari.
Are we a self-help podcast? Is this a self-help thing
we're doing? I don't know.
Like, I feel like that's the direction we're going.
Yeah. Should we change that?
No, I don't think so.
No? Okay.
Because that's if I go to a bookstore, that's the part that I go to.
That's the area that this would show up in?
Yeah. And I'm okay with that because I need all the help I can get.
Here, I thought it might show up in the comedy section, but.
I mean, I don't think we're that funny. You are.
Maybe, no, I am. I am not that funny. Okay, so anyway, this article starts out by Jeet saying, everyone wants to become a better person, but some people just don't know how. At the end of the day, I like to reflect and see what I can do to become a better person. Not only that, but I have a goal of leaving an imprint on the world for doing great things. By setting aside some time each day to reflect on what behaviors were good and bad, I have the opportunity to grow. Growing up, I wasn't the nicest kid, and this is where I certainly can relate. Growing up, I wasn't the nicest kid. I would make fun of others, I was selfish, and I thought the world revolved around me. Fast forward a few years, and I've grown tremendously. I'm no longer the annoying child I was, because I've grown and learned what it means to be a better person. After learning what it means to be a better person, I've been able to develop my persona into something I don't mind being. I'm a lot happier with who I am, and I would have no problem telling my future kids the type of person I am. And so, Jeet says, here are 9 ways to be a better person through self-development. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, but I would say the interesting part about being a parent now and what he says, I wouldn't mind telling my future kids how much better of a person I am. What I've come to learn, which is so cliche, but it's the actions speaking louder than words. It's like, my kids
model it, and your kids will know it.
Well, yeah, I'm not gonna say, hey, I'm a really good person. Look at me now. I used to be this, and now, like, they don't care. They don't even know what that means yet.
Yeah.
What's going to matter is how you respond to them in happy times and sad times and everything in between, which I've got work to do. But like that. Is my 2 cents on that you didn't ask for.
Okay, well, I'll take that to the bank. We'll get started here. Number 1, be willing to change. In order to become a better person, you have to be willing to change. You know, I feel like all these articles do the same thing. They give a heading,
mm-hmm.
and then the very next sentence, they just repeat what the heading is.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And then I just read it.
And then I read it.
I could just not do that.
You could.
I could skip over that. Anyway, change is the only way to grow and progress into the person you want to become. Many people are against change, which can make it very hard to grow. When you keep an open mind and are willing to change, you are able to grow into the person you want to become.
Change.
Number 2, stop making excuses. When Jeet first started his company in high school, So he was an entrepreneur from the beginning. He made excuses every time something went wrong. I would blame others, or he would blame others, blame the customer or anyone else involved. However, he'd never blame himself for things that went wrong. Instead, he learned that by taking accountability for his own mistakes, that's extremely important. He stopped making excuses, took the blame when it was truly his fault, and was able to achieve so much more. By understanding when he made a mistake, he was able to use his mistakes to learn, which helped him become a better person, as is the tagline here. Number three.
Can we go back to two for a second?
Okay, let's follow up on two. You have anything you'd like to add?
No. Well, yeah, clearly I asked you to stop.
Stop making excuses.
This one is obviously much easier said than done, obviously. But it just makes a lot of sense to
be accountable.
Well, yeah, and just to, it's like you're doing yourself a favor by like taking responsibility for it, regardless if it was really truly your fault. Because your mindset is that you're taking control of the situation to a certain degree,
mm-hmm.
versus letting outside forces kind of control. I mean, outside forces are involved, obviously, in certain situations, but if you're taking responsibility for it, you then have the power to respond to it the way that you want to versus the outside force, like, causing you
sure.
to feel.
Right. Creates ownership.
Right. You know? So even if it's not your fault, which I feel like I probably need to get better at that too. But anyway,
yeah,
no, I think it just makes sense if you really boil it down.
But like you said, it's a lot harder,
right?
You know, it's easier said than done because a lot of people don't like to look in the mirror and see when something goes wrong. You know, and also, you know, I oversee a group of people. In my job, and so when something goes wrong, when something gets left out of something that we send out to a customer or something like that, you know, I didn't leave it out of the box or whatever the situation is, but at the end of the day, when I have to have my meetings with the powers that be, you know, they're looking at the warranty percentage or whatever it is from my department. So whether or not I'm putting stuff in a box or not is irrelevant. I'm accountable for it. So yeah. I have to own it. So when there's, you know, so like that's, and it's a lot, again, it's easier said than done, but it's,
well, and
I think it is valuable.
When you're a leader, like the example you gave, I listened to Jeff Comey talk about in an interview on NPR the other day about the FBI and the results of this investigation. And there was no, you know, bias apparently in the whole Russia investigation, and the NPR interviewer was asking Comey about it. He's like, well, do you, because there was like 17 mistakes they found 17 mistakes in this investigation total, and the guy's like, well, that's a lot for the FBI, you know, you're supposed to do this or that. He's like, do you, and Comey got fired by Trump obviously, and he's like, do you take responsibility for any of that? He's like, well, absolutely. He's like, I have to, as the leader, I have to take responsibility for that because I'm the person at the top.
Yeah.
Like that just, that's yep. what you have to do. And yeah. as a teacher, you got to do that. And as a leader of any some way, shape or right. form, you have to. And it doesn't even matter if it's your fault.
Right. And that's the thing you have to understand is that it doesn't matter if it's your fault. You're accountable for it.
Right.
So you need to know that, understand it, and take ownership. Number three, stop being angry. Many people let anger and rage alter their decision-making skills. I used to be an angry person growing up, but I only saw it damage relationships with people and increase my blood pressure. Controlling anger is an extremely difficult skill to master, but it's very beneficial. Instead of getting angry, I decided to find a way to change my negative emotions. Staying angry doesn't help me or solve any problems. It only creates more of them. Find some way of relaxing your nerves when you're angry. A stress ball was very helpful for me. maybe one of these would work for you too. And there's a, he has a link to 40 simple and brilliant ways to relax and de-stress on this article, which, by the way, sorry, better late than never, but I don't think I mentioned this article was by Jeet, but it's from lifehack.org.
Okay.
So stop being angry. What are your thoughts?
I mean,
why waste your time?
It's not even that, because I think everybody knows that being angry is a waste of time, because nobody likes being that way. I mean, I'm sure some people like right. the feeling, because they don't know any better, right?
And anger is an emotion, so it's going to pop up here and there, but it's about how do you get past it and move on and not right. be like that for long.
Right. And the antidote for me has been meditation. Like,
mine has been gritting my teeth and and yelling.
I love that. I'm not going to try that, but... So what I've realized is that through it over the years, I still feel anger, but it's fleeting. It's mm-hmm, very it right. comes and goes, because I'm aware of it. Like, oh, I'm feeling angry now. Mm-hmm. This is silly. This is a waste of time, and I'm moving on. You know,
right.
But that's the work, right? Like, that's the whole point of it. Anyway,
number four, be a role model. Sometimes you need to be a role model to someone to really get your act together. Once I became an entrepreneur and people started to look up to me, I became a lot more cautious about the way I behaved. I didn't want to disappoint people by showing them I was immature or a bad role model. You can start small and be a big brother to someone, coach a kid's team, or be a role model to your children. No matter what you choose to do, always make decisions that the person looking up to you will respect. And I personally think that this is one that speaks to me, because I've gone through this, you know, as I've grown in my profession. I became a supervisor, worked my way up to supervisor and then manager. And I was always kind of I have a loud personality at times. And so that I still do, but I have a loud personality in different ways, you know, where it's not just this immature, like, whatever that I once was. Mm-hmm. And so I think my personality is altered with the roles that I've had.
Are you happy about that? Do you feel like
because I mean, like, at least from my perspective, there's a level of professionalism that you need to have, personally I feel like one should have as they grow and have people like depending on them to make decisions, you know, because if you're joking around all the time, or if you're being immature all the time, people aren't going to take you seriously, and they're going to question whether or not you're a good decision maker mm-hmm. or you're a good leader. Now, I'm not saying that you should be straight and narrow all the time either, because that's not a good.
Yeah, that doesn't pay.
That's you know, it's not. It doesn't have to be that polarizing. You know, I think you need to be somewhere in the middle. I think having a personality is a good attribute. You know, you want to be able to relate to people, be able to tell some jokes or have some fun, but still at the same time understand that you're professional and we've got stuff to do.
Right. But, well said.
Next one, forgive someone. Forgiving someone who hurt you is very difficult to do. When I got upset at someone for doing something, I could never forgive them. Even if it was a petty thing, I'd hold it against them for the rest of their lives, which was not healthy. They must have had short lives, because he's talking about this in the past tense. I quickly learned that humans are prone to making mistakes. Instead of holding mistakes against them for life, try to forgive someone. To become a better person, go through your past and forgive someone that did something to hurt you. Unfortunately, I don't think it's that simple. I don't think you can just, like, go through some people of your past and say, I forgive you. I think true forgiveness requires some time, some thought. You know, I don't think it's something that you can just come up with.
I feel like I disagree. And the reason why I disagree is because at some point when we as individuals realize that the inability for us to forgive other people is doing more harm to us than them, we can make the conscious decision
to let that stuff go. Because it's bearing down on me. It's not right. them.
But I guess my point is that if I say, you know, if somebody, let's say, I don't know, when I'm in high school and I'm dating a girl and yeah. my best friend
sure
takes her, or, you know, whatever, takes her from me. And so so this person is no longer my best friend. And let's say I hold this grudge forever. This fictitious, this didn't actually happen to me, but anyway,
you are taking girls away from other guys.
Oh, come on, Michael. I'm working on being a better person here. I did not do that. I was not that kind of person.
Oh, that's
funny. Anyway, so let's say that happened 20 years ago. And now, sitting here 40 years later, or 40 years later, at 40 years old, I say, you know what, Wally, I forgive you.
Wally doesn't even care, though.
Right. But my point is, do I really forgive him? If it took 20, you know, it's been 20 years, and now all of a sudden I start to think about it, and I'm like, I forgive you. Is that the reality? Have I really forgiven him? Because I said it?
In your mind, yes.
Just because I said it?
Well,
that
yeah.
That doesn't mean I necessarily...
That's like...
That doesn't mean I believe it. That just means I said it.
But
it's a good step.
Well, this is where life gets weird because you're
you want to get weird?
You're not going to talk to Wally. You're not going to call Wally. And you're not going to say, hey, dude, I was thinking about what you did and I forgive you. You know, you're not going to do that. But the next best thing is going to be you thinking to yourself, wow, it is really stupid of me to be holding this grudge on Wally.
Sure.
Because Wally didn't know his butt from his elbow.
Right.
Right. When he was 17, and he didn't mean to hurt me. I'm saying right. that we have the ability.
Sure.
To make that decision and let go.
Yeah. No, and I don't necessarily disagree. I just don't know if it's like, for some reason, it doesn't seem that clear cut to me. Like I think
this is what we're conditioned, for lack of a better term, to think is that there's more to this whole forgiveness thing than, and who am I?
Right.
Like I think we think there's more to this forgiveness thing than there really is. It's like,
well, and I don't tend to like hold grudges against people either, generally speaking.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but I still think like if somebody's, if I run into somebody that has bothered me over and over and over, that they get under my skin for several decisions that they've made or several ways that they've responded to things that I've said or done, and I'm not a big fan of this person for these reasons, and then they do something else and it really bothers me, and I sit back and I say, you know what, I forgive you. I do, but all that history isn't gone. Like, this person right. has still clowned me 3 or 4 or 5 right. times, and I'm like, I still don't like this person. And
right.
And I don't know, maybe that's different than forgiving somebody.
I think that's different because
I don't like
that them. Person is still right. Well, that's all. Yeah, but that's part of it too. But if this person is still in your life, that's different. If they're still making decisions that concern you, that's way different than the Wally example.
Sure.
I think.
Right, because in theory, I would still like Wally. It's just that this decision was made, or this thing happened.
Right.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But yeah, but I mean, I do understand what you're saying. I just think that they're just different. Because if you're working with somebody and they've like done, like if you're working with somebody or they're still in your life or your family member or something, that's harder to do because you're constantly dealing with them and they're still making decisions that are impacting your life.
Yeah.
That's different. But.
All right. Number 6, listen to people. People are extremely busy with their careers, families, and lives. Everyone's in a rush, but people rarely ever have time to listen to what others have to say. I learned that listening to people and giving everyone a voice is one of the greatest things you can do. I got to meet some of the most amazing people. close some of the biggest deals and develop connections that will last me a lifetime, all because I took time to listen to people. Being a good listener can change your life in a positive manner. And
so listening is a good thing.
That is a good thing. And I think we have covered that in prior podcasts.
I can't remember because I wasn't listening.
What? Man, that is such a six-year-old joke.
It is.
Still good, though.
Still good.
32 years later. 34 years later. Said be a good listener. Don't be a good mathematician. Okay, number 7. Be honest. Honest people are hard to come by nowadays. Boy, that's not a judgment or generalization. However, honesty is the best remedy for any situation. Promise yourself that you won't tell any lies for a month straight.
That's an arbitrary number.
Right. Or forever. Like, let's try that
let's
one.
Start with a month. Start with a month.
Challenge yourself to be honest by developing good habits. If you're a compulsive liar, start small by trying to be honest for one day. Man alive, I can't imagine. Like, if you have this level of self-reflection, how can you be a compulsive liar? Like, how can you?
What do you mean by that?
If you're reflecting to this degree, you're aware that you have issues.
Right. Okay. You know what you mean. Yeah.
Man, I don't know. After you accomplish a smaller goal, increase the goal by 2 or 3 and keep going. Well, regardless, I'm going to put my stamp on be honest. I think that that is a good policy for being better.
Makes sense.
Number 8, do something you don't want to. Love this one, though. Mm. This is so good. We've covered this one a couple different times. Do something you don't want to. Man, it just doesn't make any sense, but it makes so much sense at the same time. Do something you don't want to. I really don't like heights, but this is going to be good for me if I go up and do these, fly in this airplane.
That's one of the
the heights.
No, I know. I think I brought this up in a previous podcast, maybe. I don't know if it's with us or not, but I'm reading this book, 7 Habits of Successful Teens. It's by Stephen Covey, which is, maybe it's by Sean Covey, and it's Stephen Covey's dad. His dad wrote the 7 Habits of Successful People, which is like this super well-known book. I think we talked about this once. Anyway, in that book, he quotes this one person, I don't know his name, that has studied all of these super successful people. Again, what is success, regardless. And the one theme of all these successful people is that they did the thing, or they did stuff that they didn't want to do. So the mundane stuff, they did stuff when they didn't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
And this is, I think this is one of the secrets.
I just had a conversation about that at work today. Yeah.
Is that in order to be successful, again, whatever that is, you do the thing that, I think we talked about this in the car ride to Nebraska. I think that's what we talked about when I brought it up. You do things that you don't really want to do at that point in time because you know it needs to get done. And it's like those little moments when you do these things, when they add up, then you have built something. Because I feel like this way with the Credible Teacher, like I do something every day.
Sure. Each little piece is a building block.
Exactly. So after 15, 20 years of doing something every day, I'm going to look back and be like, oh, look at all this stuff. I don't, who knows what's going to happen, but like, and I think that's one of the things. Anyway, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, I haven't gotten into it yet.
Okay.
He says here, keeping an open mind and trying things that you wouldn't normally do is a very easy way to become a better person. Take a risk and challenge yourself to try something you've always been scared to do. You'll only live your best life once you step out. Growing up, I was terrified of roller coasters. However, I eventually gave in as a teenager. Man, this article keeps jumping around and isn't reading it here. This is the strangest thing because there's like pictures that like are making it shift.
Yeah.
As I'm reading it. Anyway, I eventually gave in as a teenager and had the time of my life. I would have never experienced roller coasters. Oh my gosh, I just lost a dang article. This thing's like flipping out here. Oh, this is ridiculous.
If he hadn't tried
so
it.
So if I hadn't been willing to get over my fear and give it a shot, that one experience has led me to try numerous other new things. So can you think of anything that you've tried out of your comfort zone?
Oh, yeah. This whole TikTok thing is completely out of my comfort zone.
That's right.
I don't know necessarily if I want to be on it. It's fun. But it's not like...
How is that out of your comfort zone? Because you love it. Like, you enjoy
not,
doing it.
No, but I still... Like, I posted today. I did a little thing, and I still question my worthiness to, like, do that and share my perspective.
Sure.
And so I'm, like, critical of myself. I don't necessarily know if I'm critical, like I'm worried about the judgment, but it's me doing something that has not come naturally to me. Like I like it, but so that's me doing that. I mean, and it started with this podcast. It started with like posting stuff, something on Instagram,
yeah,
sharing my perspective.
Yeah. Starting the podcast was definitely out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And now, after we've done a bunch of these episodes, it's like, what's so scary?
Right.
But in all reality, the first time, it's intimidating.
Right. And that's what I've realized. It's like, if I didn't start, like, The Credible Teacher and post something on Instagram in October of 2017, I wouldn't have got to a point where I had the confidence to then start a podcast, to then be on this super silly TikTok app, which is fun, but like it all snowballs.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like it's the skill of learning, like trying something new,
and just knowing that you're gonna get used to it.
Yeah,
and
there's just less fear in it all, I guess, is what I've learned.
Do you want to hear a crazy analogy?
Sure.
Like, this is a disgusting or disturbing analogy.
Sure.
I feel like it's like the person that starts working at a slaughterhouse. Day one, it's probably the craziest thing they've ever done, right?
You know,
the first time that you have to slaughter whatever it is that you're doing. Yeah. But then after you've done it day in, day out for a few days, gets that much easier. After you've done it a few weeks or a few months, eventually it just becomes work.
Right.
And no longer is it this gross, weird thing.
Right.
But
it's like the best and worst thing about being human, right? It's like we can acclimate to new skills quickly.
Right.
We can acclimate to our environment quickly, but
you can also be desensitized.
Well, that I was just thinking, and you're right. I see that. That's absolutely right. But I was thinking it's more from the perspective of like starting that new thing is so difficult. It's like we can acclimate so quickly, but getting to the point where we have the confidence,
right,
or lack of fear to try that new thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's like a weird irony.
All right, last one here. Surprise someone special. Do you have a loved one in your life, whether it's your spouse, romantic partner, your children, or a family member? Plan a special surprise for them. If you know someone who deserves a nice vacation or a new gift, go buy it for them. Man alive, Jeep, what kind of life are you living here?
Come on, Jeep.
One of the most rewarding feelings in the world are knowing that you made someone smile. Surprise a special someone in your life by doing something out of the ordinary for them. Which is totally true. I mean, you know, we've covered so many times, and you know, and when we've talked about how to be happy, it's the more that you give, the more that you receive.
Right. Yeah. It's like doing all these podcasts with you and learning and reflecting. It seems as though life is just very simple there's a few things that if you just do these few things, you could lead a much happier, fulfilled life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't do them, then the point is moot.
Yeah. And one, we also find a way to make life very, very complicated, right, when it doesn't need to be. You know, we tend to make mountains out of molehills.
Yeah.
You know, we stress so much about what Christmas presents we're going to buy other people.
Right.
Does it matter? Does it really matter?
No.
But I don't. In some families, it may, because whatever, it might ruin relationships or something. But then again, if relationships are going to be ruined based on a gift that you gave or didn't give somebody, even though they're family, is that relationship worth right. it?
Maybe not. The quote that came to mind, and I don't think this is a real quote, but all I gotta do
what,
is
what does that mean?
Right, I don't even know if it's a real quote. What does that even mean? But all I gotta do is live and die. Like that's what that comes to mind of like what it is that we're here. Right. There's a book that I read sixth graders at the beginning of the year for this one unit. It's called The Tiger Rising. It's a great book. Children's book. And there's a character in the book. She's a housekeeper at the motel, and her name is Willie Mae. And somebody says something to her, and her response, like they tell her to do something. She's like, "All I gotta do is stay black and die." And like that reminds me of this whole notion of what. Like what I just said, obviously, but also like what it is that we're doing here. Like at the very end of the day, we're living and then we're all going to die. What we do between there is really important to us because we're the ones living it. And,
right. But at the same time, it matters, like, matters next to nothing.
Right. You know? And there's some people that I've read some stuff about, how, like, there's somebody on Instagram I follow. She has this theory about, like, this two-generation theory they figured out, like, or four generations. I can't remember. But, like, there's a certain point in time where no one knows that you existed anymore.
Yeah.
Like, after so many years, like, nobody knows you ever lived.
Right. Yeah. You become a... Oh, look at that. You know, when you're doing ancestry.com
right.
or whatever, your family tree. Oh, look, that was my great, 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 great grandpa, Mike.
Right.
Look at that.
And that's it. That's all you are.
You're a space on a tree.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
That put things in perspective a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if it's like, I don't know. I think that's a good thing.
I don't know. That's all I got. That's all Jeet's got.
That's all Jeet's got. That was a good one. He's very straightforward to the point.
Yeah.
I liked it.
That's how he rolls.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Anything else to share?
I'm good.
Any wisdom?
I'm good. Shut her down.
Okay. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Have a great day. And thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It means a lot. I have two favors from you. One, rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you listen to it. That'd be great. I need it. I'd love that. And two, I created a teacher survey about understanding what attributes our most memorable teachers had and how that made us feel. I posted it on my website, thecredibleteacher.com. There's a link right on the front page. If you could fill that out, that would be amazing. And if you need to find me, I'm on social and I'm here for you. So just let me know what you need. Thank you so much. Take care.